الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفراغ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers and young ones in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is never easy to stand up and give a bayan in this masjid, simply because the elders, the ulama that have stood at this podium, that have stood at this minbar, and have delivered hundreds, maybe thousands of lectures full of the nur of the Quran and Hadith, themselves carried so much of nur, so much of spirituality. So at the outset, our condition is like what my Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayna, what he said, kyu aah mein kuch ta'seer nahi, kyu aah mein kuch ta'seer nahi, kya dil mein ishq atir nahi, jab noor nahi khud hi dil mein, minbar pe wo kya barsayenge. When you don't have noor in our own hearts, then what are we going to stand up and speak on the minbar? But nevertheless, because it is the command and the instruction of our elders, then we stand up and say a few words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means for my guidance firstly and for the guidance of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The verses of the Quran Sharif which I recited, we are very, very familiar with it. Surah Al-Asr. And perhaps we're very familiar because it is the second shortest surah in the Quran Kareem. And if not on a daily basis, then probably at least a few times in the week, we recite the surah in our salah. Because we like to choose the shortest surahs to recite. So, everyone is sure what the surah is. But despite being one of the shortest surahs in the Quran Kareem, ulama have written, and specifically from amongst them, Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi Ali has written, that this surah, Suratul Asr, if it is understood in its entirety, if all the dimensions are implemented in a person's life, then it is sufficient for his guidance and for the guidance of the entire mankind. So it is a very, very great surah to understand what is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us in this surah. It is an individual message and it is also a collective message. It is a message that applies to a person in his own family, it applies to a locality, then it is a message that applies to the province. We have elections also coming up now. It is a message that applies nationally and it is also a message that applies internationally. So at the outset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal asr, by the token of time, by time itself, by time itself. What does it mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam? Allah ta'ala has no need to take a qasam, but for our understanding, for us to enable us to appreciate the seriousness of the matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses time itself. This capital of time that we have. This capital of time that we have. And he takes a qasam telling us that what you're about to hear is a very, very critical, very, very important piece of information. And what is that? That message is that innal insana lafi khusr. Verily mankind, al-insan, those who know Arabic, who have studied, they'll know that without any exclusion, categorically mankind is at a loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. So let us step back for a moment and understand what we've just heard. We've heard that Allah Ta'ala has taken a qasam on time itself, and immediately the mention of loss with regards to time. So the ulama write that this time is actually like capital. This time is like capital that a person has. And this capital can be put to different uses. Most of us or many of us may be involved in businesses. So we're always monitoring, we're seeing what is the growth on our capital. Likewise, this time, you spend a moment of time, it's gone. It's like an expense. It's come off your income statement. But did you get any asset in return? And various ayat of the Quran indicate upon this fact that this time is actually capital. If we reflect over the words that Allah Ta'ala uses, Allah Ta'ala says with regards to those people who didn't make proper use of this capital, they didn't invest it in those things that will give them the return that they're going to require to survive in the hereafter. They say, Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. What does it mean? He will say, Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. Oh, how I wish I sent forward something for my life. Which life? The life of the hereafter. فَيَوْمَ إِذِ اللَّهُ يُعَذِّبُ عَذَابَهُ أَحَدْ وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدْ. Nevertheless, so this asset or this capital that we have been given of time is a very, very valuable thing. And different people in this world will employ it in a different way. Just like how if a person has 100,000, someone is good at converting that 100,000 into 200,000 in a matter of 1 month. Someone will take it and instead of converting it to 200,000, he'll end up owing 100,000 after investing 100,000. Just like how they do it in the dunya, it also happens in the akhirat, in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us mechanisms, has given us avenues to enable us to invest this capital that we have in the most profitable manner possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. 1 second of time that we use, 1 second of time that we use, this is not the stock exchange, or this is not some kind of, you know, cutthroat business where you're getting returns of 5 and 6% markup you're getting. Allah ta'ala is promising a minimum reward of 1000% for every action that we invest in. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Person gets 10 times the reward. So 1000% return on capital, 1000% return on your investment, Allah Ta'ala has promised us that. Yet, on the other hand, if we have to reflect over it, if we have to reflect over the reality of the situation, is that where is the bulk of our time going? Is it being invested profitably in order to capitalize on what is in store for us in the hereafter? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam answers that question, and he tells us in this hadith that I recited in the khutbah that ni'matani maghbunun feehima kathirun minan nas. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have come to us in a manner that makes it easy for people to understand. By and large, the broad commands of such a nature that a person reads it and reflects over it, he'll understand it. Obviously, there are those things which we need to turn to the ulama for the explanation. But again, look at the language that is used. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ni'matani maghbunun feehima kathirun minan nas. Now the word maghbun in Arabic is got to do with business again. Business. What does it mean, maghbun? That two blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are of such a nature. Two blessings are of such a nature that many people are maghbun with regards to it. Maghbun, to understand it, think of a business transaction that a person doesn't understand the value of something that he has. He has a diamond in his hands. He has a 5-carat diamond, maybe worth 1 million rands in his hands. But someone offers to buy it from him for 10 rand. If that person sells that diamond for 10 rand, the diamond that is worth 1 million rands, he sells it for 10 rands. We say that that person is maghboon. He has been ripped off. He failed to understand the value of what he had. He failed to understand the value of the asset that he parted with. Exactly is our situation today. We will while away the time watching a few people kicking a piece of leather from pillar to post. We will while away the time in reading unnecessary literature. Yes, literature that helps a person in his dunya or akhirah, there is some objective. But unnecessary, absolutely unnecessary novels and stories, or just, you know, surfing the internet purely for the sake of surfing it, that's also become a pastime. So then we are like that person who has taken the diamond that is worth 1 million and he has sold it for 10 rand. We may not appreciate in this world, seeing it right now, But think of the words of that person who is going to say, Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. Oh, how I wish. Ya laytani. You know, in Arabic, when you say, Ya laytani, it means you're calling upon your regret, that I'm feeling so regretful, I don't know what to do. Please, this burden that is upon me, this regret, that's forcing a person sometimes to even eat his fingers. So you don't know what to do at that stage, because why? You realize that you've entered into a major loss-making deal. When you enter into a major loss-making deal and you try and pull out, except that with time, there's only one chance. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi used to say that to people and to his people that were sitting in his gathering, Yabna Adam innama anta ayyam. Fa'idha dhahaba yawmun dhahaba ba'duk. O son of Adam, O human being, you are but an embodiment of time. You are just a few days. You are an embodiment, a collection of a few days. Every day that passes, actually a part of you has dissipated, has failed to exist. Now if you think about that, and you think about this concept of birthdays, that's the point in passing, is it something to be happy that you have come closer, you have lost out time, another year of your life has passed by? Is that something to celebrate upon? Or is it something to reflect and think that have I achieved my objective? Am I any closer to where I am supposed to be? So this is a very, very critical aspect. And the hadith goes on to say, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغِ. The two things that people are basically, for our understanding, greatly in a misconception with regards to their value, or for the layman word, ripped off. We've been ripped off with regards to what is the true value of these things. Number one is health, and number two is our time. The time that we have at our disposal. How to make the most effective use of this time. We are now in the month of Rajab. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. The month of Ramadan, the preparation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was teaching us that from now the mindset must change. From now we should understand that valuable, every moment is valuable, but all the more so the month of Ramadan. So this aspect of free time and also our health, that is another topic altogether. This health that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, how to preserve it, how to use it for that which will give us again the best returns when it comes to the hereafter. Nevertheless, coming back to the verses, the surah that we were reciting, Suratul Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Illa alladhina amanu. So all of mankind is in absolute loss with regards to this capital that they have. Except a few categories of people. Illa alladhina amanu. Number one, those who have brought iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the finality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the system of Shariat, this legal system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this divine legal system that we have been bestowed with, those of us who resign ourselves to it entirely, then you are from a category that could be still profitable with regards to the capital of time that you have been given. So, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And those who have done good deeds. So those bring iman and then utilize this time that we have to do the good deeds. And again, once the time is utilized, the mercy and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know no bounds. I mean, think about it. 10 is the minimum. In certain ayats of the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about 700 times reward. 700 times reward. Sometimes in certain ayat, even more than that. Without any limitation to the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. So, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And then is a very, very important point that is made in the ayat. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. This word, وَتَوَاصَوْ, means to enjoin one another, to impress upon one another, to give wasiyat, to advise one another with regards to what is truthful, what is correct, what is the right thing to do. Now, unfortunately, this has become something that we just is becoming to be ignored in our communities, in our societies. That if a person is upright, he is following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may be performing 5 times salah in the masjid, he may be carrying out his life in a manner that is consistent with the teachings that have come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that have been taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he feels that that is sufficient. That is sufficient because his house is in order. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us of one hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the angel with regards to a specific village that destroy that entire village. And the angels come back and they say, but in that village, there lives a person who has never disobeyed you even once in his life. If we have to reflect in this gathering here, perhaps not one person will be of that level. But not even one time in our lives we've disobeyed Allah Ta'ala, either knowingly or unknowingly also. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the command of Allah Ta'ala will stand. And Allah Ta'ala will tell the angels that do it because لَمْ يَتَمَعَرْ فِيَّ وَجْهُهُ. For once, yes, he was content with his ibadat. He was content with the good that he was doing and the guidance that he was upon. But he was never ever concerned. Not once did his face ever display the features of concern with regards to what was happening to the people around him. The commands of Allah Ta'ala that were being flouted left, right and center, it didn't bother him. So let us now reflect over this command that is in this ayat of the Quran, or this guidance. One is on an individual level. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. Within our own families. That if there is something that is happening that is not consistent with the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not sufficient that we simply are on haqq. Yes, there is a way that things should be passed on. One great alim, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to say, haq baat, haq niyat se, haq tariqe se kahi jaye, or haq tariqe se kahi jaye, to zarur asar hoga. If a person advises someone with the truth, number one, it must be truthful. Haq niyat se, with the right reason, not to run him down, not to make him feel bad in front of others. Haq tariqe se, in the right manner. There's also a way and a time and a place things should be raised. Nevertheless, but broadly speaking, when some correction has to be made, when some guidance has to be passed on, it should be done. It shouldn't be left alone. This is what this ayat is telling us. And failing to do this will mean that we are losers in that capital of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Now, coming to the context that we are in currently, if we think about this elections that are coming up, the elections that we are faced with, the ulama have written, that what is the characterization of elections or voting someone into power from a Sharia perspective? So the ulama have written, the first and foremost is that every system, every legal system, we are not talking now about whether democracy or the current voting system is the best system or it is the ideal system, that is a separate topic. But we are faced with a situation where there is an election that is taking place, so we need to understand what it means from a Sharia perspective, from a Dini perspective, to stand for an election and also to vote in an election. When you go out and cast your vote, what does it mean you are saying? So first and foremost, with regards to people that stand, it is important to understand that in Shariat, this concept of siyasa or politics, it comes from the word sasa yasusu, which means to lead. Those people stand up to lead a nation who have the capacity and who have the qualities and the attributes that are required in order to stand up and lead. So the moment a person stands up to lead and says that I am fit to stand as running for a particular office, whether it is the president or whether it is a council or whatever, then if we reflect in the Quran and Hadith, what are the requirements for a person to hold a particular office? In one ayat, the Quran Kareem, the daughter of Hazrat Shuaib radiallahu rahmatullahi alayhi, she said that inna khayra man ista'jarta al-qawiyyul amin. The best person that you can appoint to a position is the one who is qawi, the one who has full capacity and he understands, he has the ability to carry out the requirements and the dictates of that particular position, number one. So that's one. But ability, capability, skill, knowledge is not all-encompassing. It's not everything. It doesn't solve the problem. Together with that, the person must be Amin. He must be of an extremely high degree of trustworthiness. He must treat those things as amanat. as trust that he has been. If a person is sitting in a position where he's been entrusted with the responsibilities or the resources of the community, of a locality, of a council, or of a municipality, or of the province, or of the nationally, the country, then it means that he has the ability firstly to do it, and secondly he will be trustworthy. He will not allow himself to be consumed by conflicts of interest. He will be, to the extent he will suffer his personal, you know, difficulty in order to put the interests of the society before him. And in this context, one qawl of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, the way Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu ruled, he ruled over 2/3 of the then known world. And he said to his companions at one time, that if a donkey has to die on the banks of the Euphrates, a river in Iraq today, if a donkey has to die on the banks of the Euphrates, then Umar will be asked, radiallahu anhu, on the day of Qiyamah, what did you do and what could you have done in order to save it? So this is the concept of leadership in Islam, on the one hand. On the other hand, for those of us that are going to be placing a vote, it is important to understand the characterization that ulama have given. The ulama, the muftiyan, have given three potential, possible ways that a vote can be characterized in the Sharia. Number one, they say that it could be a testimony that a person is given. When a person places a vote in someone, it means that you are now announcing, you are proclaiming, you are giving testimony to the fact that a certain person is capable and has the requisite skills and level of character and integrity to go and stand and fulfill the requirements of that position. So it is no ordinary thing, this aspect of testimony or shahadat, what we call in our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. This testimony is something that at the time when it is required, it is not even permissible to hold back on that testimony. If it is of such a nature that people's rights are going to be trampled upon because of your failure to give testimony, to give shahadat in a court, then the ulama have written that it becomes necessary for a person. So one level of analyzing this is that it is like a testimony that a person has given. But when a testimony is given, the ulama have also said that one of the major sins in our deen is to do what is called shahadat al-zur, to give false testimony. So if a person gives testimony for someone, and you have failed to recognize and to understand that that person is not capable or is not the right person, or is the wrong person, or is the person who is going to cause havoc and fasad and fitna in the land, then to give that testimony for that person will also be haram and totally forbidden. So this is something to understand. The other way that the ulama have characterized this aspect of casting a vote is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً حَسَنَةً يَكُلْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْهَا وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً يَكُلْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِّنْهَا. It is like an intercession that a person does. There are certain collective rights that this society has that need to be carried out by a few individuals, and that's what we are doing. You are putting them into that power of position. And in this, a person is interceding. He is proclaiming his intercession for certain people to say that these are the right people who can lead us and who can carry out these collective responsibilities and take care of the collective rights of the society. So in, with regards to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً حَسَنَةً يَكُلْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْهَا. If a person does a good intercession, he will have a share in the fruits, the positive fruits that are born out of that intercession. Likewise, on the contrary, on the other hand, مَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً. If a person does an intercession that is based on bribery, based on corruption, based on personal interests, based on failing to see what is right for the society as a whole, يَكُلْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِّنْهَا. It will be a burden on his back on the day of Qiyamah. It will become a burden on his back on the day of Qiyamah. So this is a very, very critical point to understand. And there is one other way that the ulama have characterized this aspect of voting on the basis of wakalat, or what we call as a collective agency, but there's no time to go into the details. The long and short of this is this, that respected elders and brothers, we are enjoined upon in this ayat of the Quran, in the surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Asr, which reminds us that we are at a loss with regards to our time, unless we bring iman in the manner that has been taught to us in the Quran Kareem and in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do the good deeds, we capitalize on this time that we have in the most profitable manner possible. And the ways of doing good deeds are innumerable. It's amazing, if you open the kitabs of hadith, there are dedicated chapters that are entitled. I was seeing this morning, Riyadh al-Salihin, there's a chapter that's entitled, Babu Kathrati Turuqi al-Khayr. The sheer, you know, number of ways that a person can do good deeds in our deen. Ulama have dedicated chapters. Open the kitabs of hadith and see what are the various avenues of good deeds that a person can do to capitalize on this time. And finally, the ayat says, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ, that enjoin one another. Now this enjoining can take place in an individual, in a society, in a community level, at a national, at an international level. We must reflect over these things and ensure that we are carrying out our commands that have been directed to us in this particular surah of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of amal. May He keep this country safe and sound. May He keep the blessings that are upon us for many, many, many years to come. May He remove the difficulties, the calamities and the hardships facing the ummah across the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.